If you would open your Bibles with me to Matthew 14 and verse 1, where we'll look at the murder of John the Baptist and what a grudge can do. So if we all stand as we read the words of our Lord. Matthew 14 from verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would teach us, you would help us to learn from your word now, to keep us from evil, to live before you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, so our text begins in verse 1. At that time, we've previously seen Jesus going from region to region, preaching and teaching the gospel, the way of salvation, and doing miracles to confirm he is the long-awaited Messiah, God's promised Savior of the world. Well, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. Now, you've already heard of and seen King Herod, who we saw around the time of the birth of Jesus, or Herod the Great, as he was called, who ordered the execution of all the little children under 2 years old in Bethlehem. Well, after that King Herod, Herod the Great, died soon after the birth of Christ. His kingdom, the provinces he ruled over, were divided between his four sons, who then governed different regions. Well, Herod the Tetrarch here, or Antipas as he was also called, is one of those four sons, being the ruler of Galilee. Well, when he heard about the news of Jesus and his fame was spreading, I mean, you can sort of imagine this. Maybe at first Herod heard trickles of reports about Jesus, but his servants, who were yes men no doubt, perhaps assured him there's no credibility to them. But it came to a point where the whole region knew about Jesus, someone who was doing all these great miracles, all the people were going to him. Well, when Herod the Tetrarch heard about this, he said to his servants, verse 2 continues, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." The first thing we can conclude about this is Herod, the Tetrarch here, he was not expecting or awaiting the Messiah, was he? Others in the regions were hearing of these miracles of Jesus and going to him asking, "Are you the son of David, the long-expected Messiah?" In fact, some out just went to him and called him that. But when Herod hears of the fame of Jesus, he doesn't put two and two together. Instead, he concludes, "This must be John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." So Herod here, the Tetrarch, is obviously greatly disturbed by this news of Jesus. His conscience and his superstition leads him to fear. Because as we read on in the explanation of this, it was Herod that unjustly had John the Baptist put to death. As verse 3 continues, "For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" Now, Herodias, as you can probably tell by her name, was one of the Herods himself before she got married. Herodias was actually the daughter of another son of Herod the Great. And Herodias is also the sister of Herod Agrippa the First, who in Acts chapter 12, we are told, had the apostle James put to death. And then, and of course, the angel of the Lord struck him dead and he was eaten by worms, a brother there. And so, Herodias is the granddaughter of Herod the Great. The King Herod, who was around at the time of the birth of Jesus, Herodias here, is his granddaughter. Well, she originally married her uncle Philip, who was another one of Herod the Great's sons, who ruled over a different region. Herod the Great had several wives, and so his sons had different mothers, but the same father. But anyway, his granddaughter here, Herodias, married her uncle Philip, and she bore him a daughter, which is the daughter mentioned here. Her name is actually Salome. And for the record, this daughter of Herodias, who dances here, Salome as she was called, she later married another son of Herod the Great. And in doing so, she became both the sister-in-law and the aunt of her own mother. The Herods were one weird and depraved family. Well, Herodias, the mother here, again, she was married to her uncle Philip. And when his brother, Herod the Tetrarch, mentioned here, visited Philip's province, he was infatuated with her. And they agreed to separate from both their spouses in order to be with one another. And so John the Baptist, the preacher, had been saying to Herod, and the tense of the verb here indicates he was continually saying this. It wasn't just a one-time thing. He was telling her, "It's not lawful for you to have her." So he was telling them they were in sin. And so Herod then had John the Baptist seized and bound in chains and put in prison for the sake of Herodias, it says. He was scared that she might listen to the preacher and so he loses her. Or more likely, since we see the obvious hatred of John the Baptist in the following verses, Herodias was probably nagging Herod to stop John the Baptist, to stop his mouth. And so he had him seized and put him in prison unjustly for calling out their sin. Now, as verse 5 continues, "And though he wanted to, or would have, put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet." So, he would have had John put to death, but one reason he didn't was too many people were obviously convinced that John was a prophet of God, and he didn't want some kind of uprising, although the Pharisees rejected him, well, not everyone did. But a second reason, what had stopped Herod executing John the Baptist, we are given in Mark's Gospel, where we get a few more details there. We are told that because John kept preaching to them and telling them what they were doing was wrong, it said that Herodias had a grudge against John, and so she wanted him put to death, so she's the one nagging Herod the Tetrarch to do it. But at first, it says there, he would not, because Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. So, that Herod was greatly perplexed there, or could be translated doubted, when he heard John the Baptist, meaning he doubted himself. In Herod, there was a great internal conflict going on when he heard John the Baptist. He knew that John was a just and holy man, this servant of God who was preaching to him according to God's word, and his conscience was bearing witness of that. He knew what John was saying was right, and what he was doing was wrong. But he also had Herodias nagging in his ear. So there's a conflict, and of course he's wanting to keep his sin, so there's a conflict going on within him. He knew what John the Baptist was saying was right, but he did not want to get let go of his sin, and he wanted to please Herodias. But he heard John gladly, we're told there. He kept on listening to what he had to say for a while. Perhaps he heard John gladly because despite John telling him what was hard to hear, maybe this was refreshing to him in a sense that John wasn't another yes man who surrounded him in his court. You know, he probably was likely surrounded by men who were just tickling his ego, but John the Baptist wasn't afraid to tell the truth to him. And so he was drawn to listen to John, and John was convicting him of his sins. But there's this internal fight going on, because although he knew John was right and he was a preacher of God, Herod did not want to let go of his sin or Herodias. And so, for the time being, John the Baptist kept John alive in prison. We read earlier in Matthew his disciples visiting him in that time and going back and forth to Jesus. Well, verse 6 then continues, but when Herod's birthday came. Incidentally, the Jews, for the most part in the first century, did not celebrate their birthdays, because they were forbidden by that legalistic group, the scribes and the Pharisees. But some did, as you can see, more liberal here. But when Herod's birthday came, he obviously had this big party here, this big banquet. As Mark's Gospel tells us, Herodias had a grudge against John the Baptist and was desperate to have him put to death, because he told her she was in sin. And so, Herodias then, she has her daughter dance before the company, his guest, and pleased Herod. In this culture, the men would have dined separately. So Herodias would have been in a different room, but seizing the opportunity to get at John the Baptist here, she sends... At this birthday party, she sends her own daughter to do some kind of erotic dance for her own now husband in the presence of all those men in order to get him to do this evil that she wants him to do. The mother, of course, here, she knows her husband's weakness, and so she uses it to get him to do the evil that she wants. Well, this was so pleasing to Herod as he watched her before him. He just lost all his sense of dignity here. And so he promises, verse 7 continues, with an oath, he swore on this, to give her whatever she might ask. Mark's Gospel adds the phrase that he will give her up to half of my kingdom, which is very likely a hyperbole figure of speech to express his generosity, that he was willing to give her whatever she wanted. Just ask, whatever you want. Now, she's acting on behalf of her wicked mother here, who is obviously aware he would be seduced into making this offer. Of course, knowing him well, she took the opportunity to do this when he was in the company of others. They didn't have this in private. She wanted her husband to make this offer in front of all the other dignitaries so he wouldn't go back on his word. But despite all the immorality, think of all the things the mother could have asked her daughter to ask him for. She could have asked him, make sure the poor are fed in this region, and the plight, the suffering. She could have asked him for a nice holiday, perhaps, or the equivalent of something in their times. Perhaps a new chariot, a new carriage, a large amount of money. There are so many things she could have asked him with this offer here. But, prompted by her mother, verse 8 continued, who is ruled by this grudge, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry. He was deeply grieved about this. He didn't want to do it. But because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He could have told her. He could have told her, "I promise to give you a gift, not a crime. I didn't promise to give you a crime." He could have said to her, "I promise a gift for you, not for your mother." He could have said, "I sinned when I made that promise, so I retract it." But he lacked the courage and the humility to admit he was wrong. He didn't want to lose face in full of all these dignitaries, his guests here. So, in Herod here, you have someone who knew what he was doing was wrong, and that the person who was pressing him to do the wrong was being driven by a grudge. But he does not have the courage or the humility to say no. And so, verse 10, he sent and had John beheaded in the prison. He didn't even have the authority to do this. He was given powers to execute by the Romans, but Jewish law, as did Roman law, required a trial before someone was sentenced to death. I mean, that's another thing he could have said to her if he had the courage. He could have told her, well, he must have a trial first. And then since there was no lawful reason to put him to death, he could have said, no, or we can't do it. So, John the Baptist was then murdered in this brutal way. No public execution because there was no public trial. So John was murdered in the prison. And then verse 11 continues, and his head was brought on a platter. That's one of those big plates you might bring out a chicken or a big joint of meat on. And given to the girl, and she brought it. Remember, her mother was dining separately. She brought it to her mother. And his disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist, came and took the body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. We saw the disciples of John the Baptist earlier in Matthew's Gospel. If you remember, they came to Jesus asking if he was the Messiah when John was going through something of a wobble there while he was in prison. Well, the fact that they go to Jesus here with the news of John the Baptist's death indicates to us that both they and John the Baptist are satisfied with Jesus' answers he gave back then. They are clearly on friendly terms here and are believers. But they take the body and give John a burial, which would have been in a tomb, probably in a cave in that time of culture. And so then, that's the story and the lessons here. And number one, look what a grudge can do when it eats away at someone. Rather than wanting good things, helpful things, when given the opportunity here, Herodias is driven by a grudge. And so she insists, when she can have whatever she wants, the big thing she wants most is evil to come upon John. Because John told her she was in the wrong. This bitter grudge eating away at this woman. And she couldn't wait for the opportunity to strike. This was no doubt carefully thought out and planned by her. It's amazing the efforts that people will go to with a grudge. Pure hatred driving her day after day. It must have been rotting her inside. Because someone, all started because someone told her she was in the wrong, that she was in sin. Again, it's amazing the lengths people will go to try and inflict evil upon others because of a grudge. Because they've received correction from someone else. Many times over something small even that they cannot let go of, although something big here, isn't there? But the second lesson here is those with a grudge will gladly manipulate and use others, if needed, to try and get them to hurt the one they have the grudge against. As she uses her own family members, her daughter, gets her to act perversely. She used her husband, the men looking on, and those who carried out the execution. And no doubt a lot of other people in between. Her people with a grudge against someone will gladly drag in and try to use other people to try and hate and hurt the person they hate. Lesson number three here is do not trifle with your conscience. Herod knew that what John the Baptist was saying was right, that he was in a sinful relationship. His conscience was bearing witness that John the Baptist was a faithful man of God, giving him the truth from God's word. But he kept on fighting against his own conscience. And there was a battle within him, it says. And so, instead of repenting and turning to the Lord, he continued to resist. And eventually he attacked the one whom God was using to convict him of his sin. He shot the messenger, as the saying goes. Almost goes. Herodias' response to being told she was in sin was to lash out and bring down the preacher. She desperately wants him silenced. So don't trifle with your conscience. Don't respond to correction like that, but repent. But a fourth lesson here is do not make ridiculous promises. As we've been going through Proverbs on a Wednesday night, time and time again, we've seen this surety, or not giving surety rather, principle come up. Don't vouch for things or people you can't really vouch for. Otherwise, you'll just make a mess, let people down, and invite unnecessary trouble upon yourself. But especially don't make promises to do whatever for wicked people. But a fifth lesson here is fear of man can lead a person to do the most wickedest things. John the Baptist is a righteous preacher, faithfully telling them the truth, giving the correction needed. But Herod fears this woman who hates him and has a grudge, and so wants to please him more. He fears his guests, who are probably just as wicked themselves. But he fears of going back on an oath in front of them. And so he agrees something evil to have John murdered here. The fear of man, what a bad thing that could do there. And the sixth lesson though, you see, he should have feared God. But the sixth lesson is look what being driven by passions can make a person do wicked and irrational things. Herodias is being driven by hatred. Herod is being driven by lust. And so they act completely irrationally. I mean, think of when people driven by lust get carried away. I mean, they depart from a happy family. You know, we'll lose many things. When people driven by hatred, you can see what the damage can do here. But so many times, they just end up hurting themselves, hurting others, and dragging others into it, and just eating away in the bitterness, and doing just completely irrational things. A seventh lesson, though, is the Christian's home is beyond this life. Herod and Herodias had it lavish in the here and now. They carried on in their sin. They did not repent. And when they died, they went straight to hell. John the Baptist, on the other hand, was a righteous man who went through many trials and tribulations in this life. But for him, when he died, the suffering was over. And now he's in everlasting glory. You see, what a peace it is to know your sins forgiven. To know that it's not down to us, that it's all of Christ. It's what he did for us. There's no better news in the world to have this peace. To know that whatever trials you go through in this life, as a believer, this short life, remember that you're at peace with God and right with Him for all eternity through Jesus Christ. So despite the suffering, John the Baptist has got the far better deal here. So let's pray. Our Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray you would help us. I pray you would, of people who hear this, if anyone has a grudge, to grant them a repentance. Lord, help us to love, to seek you first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness, to have our minds set on where we're going. In Jesus' name, amen.